Can you hear that? That's the sound of your engine building up damaging deposits. You know, the kind that hurt fuel economy, performance, and the longevity of your engine. And unfortunately, it starts the moment you drive it off the lot. So no matter the age of your vehicle, it's building up deposits. But here's the good news. There's a new motor oil that removes up to 100% of deposits. Introducing Valvoline Restore and Protect. It's the first and only motor oil that restores pistons to factory clean by removing up to 100% of deposits. That's right, 100%. Restoring your engine to run like new. Plus, Valvoline Restore and Protect is a premium full synthetic that features 79% greater wear protection than industry standards. And with continuous use, it even keeps new deposits from forming. So if you like how a new engine performs, you're going to love new Restore and Protect. Another first from Valvoline.
Lifestyles Unlimited wants you real estate retired. Learn the roadmap to wealth building. Impact your family for generations.
Our kids are actually involved, and so they're learning the ropes. They see this in their future. It's benefited our children in the way they think of their future. It's taught them how to think in the millions.
Learn from the best. Lifestyles Unlimited. Now's the time to take action. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024 for a $297 two-year membership. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. That's GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
When the Santa's hell.
And we are lit, live, and loud. It is good to be with all of you back on the air because it is Thursday, and you know what that means. Back from Texas, told y'all that we were going to be radio silent for a little while. Had class out in Plano, Texas, and was on the road for a week. Got out there, rocked the house, had an incredible time, hung out in Fort Worth for a little while. Really, really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed Fort Worth. It was nice to be back there. It was nice to see the stockyard. Just heck of a good time. Linked up with a great, great friend of mine. Somebody who is an absolute flesh and blood brother to me. Somebody that I've broken bread with. We've had incredible times. We've had some of the darkest times together. I've known him for a very long time. We went to war together twice, not once, but twice. And caught up with him yet again. The last time was also in Texas. We ended up both out in El Paso together, working out there in different capacities. And, being there when both of his daughters were born, literally right after they were born, to welcome them into the world. And, just knowing him and his wife so well over the years and being able to call them brother and sister and, just I've kept up with him over the years, you just as you grow older and the army is in the rearview mirror and those times that you shared fade into the background, you kind of just everybody moves on with their lives. But I'll tell y'all something out there, while I'm talking about this, a true friend and a brother and you know that you have them when literally you can swing by the airport, you can pick them up, they look like they haven't aged a day, and the conversation picks right back up where it left off. You know, that's a true friend right there. That's a true brother right there. You know, and life's rough for a lot of people. You know, life's rough for a lot of people. And that's part of the reason that he came out there is he's going through a phase in his life where he's getting into this game. He's wanting to get into helping people and giving things back to the community. And, you know, he and I have been talking for years and years about how, you know, the world is kind of in a dark place. He's been following all of this stuff and kind of been in a holding pattern. And I tell you, he got out to that class and jumped into it with both feet and was just hanging out. I told him, I said, you know, hey, man, come out here, be comfortable, jump in where you feel necessary because you've got all the tools to do this. And, man, I'm going to tell you that it was really something. And so, you know, that was just an incredible brotherhood for literally a week. That we were able to reconnect and had some incredible frith. I think you know, to borrow a term from you know, Mountain Gorilla Blog back in the day, but it is you know, he didn't coin the term, but he popularized it, and that's exactly what that is. And so it feels good. It's like putting on, you know, gloves that you worked and worked and worked and labored in. They just feel natural, and being back with your boys feels natural like that. And it was very special to me. That class was very special to me. Being in that part of Texas was very special to me. It was an incredible experience. And we're going to get him out here to North Carolina. You know, don't be shocked if you see his happy face popping up at the scout course. That is kind of the plan right now. So it's just going to be great all around. It's going to be great all around, and brings a very, very big smile to my face. So class out there was excellent, went off without a hitch. Very, very happy with all of that. Kind of watching the news from a holding pattern. Man, there's a lot of interesting developments out there. A lot to talk about, of course. The title of the show, Red Dawn, Colorado Edition. We're going to be talking about the video coming out of Aurora, Colorado, where we have Venezuelan criminal gangs. Now, they're not criminal gangs, by the way. I'm going to dive very deep into this tonight. Longtime listeners know that this isn't anything new. I've been predicting this for years. I want all of you to go back into the archives and look up Red Dawn in America. I did a three-part series over a span of time called Red Dawn in America here on Radio Contra. You can look that up. You can look it up on Radio Contra homepage. It'll be up there. You can look it up, you know, wherever else the podcast is being hosted, whether that's Spotify or Podbean or iTunes or Google or wherever. But I want you to look that up. I predicted all this. All right. Now, I'm not tuning my own horn when I say this. All right. Not at all. What I'm saying to you is that this is not new. Okay. This didn't just happen in a vacuum. It did not just occur. And it's kind of the Cassandra complex, because I've been blowing that horn for a very long time now, warning people, hey, this is going to happen. And we're only getting started with this. And we're going to be talking about where I see this headed, some conversations that I had revolving around class out in Texas, and some of the you know, breaking down some of the things that I see on the horizon, and none of them are good. Oh, and by the way, here's the real kick in the nuts. I don't think any of it has anything to do with the November election. Everybody is talking about the November election, and rightfully so. Okay, rightfully so. Do not get it twisted. I'm not telling you that's irrelevant, and I'm not over here trying to black pill. But what I am telling you is this is going to get exponentially worse no matter what happens, okay? No matter what happens, no matter who gets elected, because what's coming into the United States, what's in the United States now is very much its own faction, and they're not playing ball with anybody, and they don't care. Okay, they don't care. And they have shown their belligerence, so to speak. Already, they have demonstrated this towards literally every other ethnic group within the Latin American populations, within the black population as well. I think that what we're going to see towards whites, particularly in the suburbs, I think we're going to see some of that last. That's absolutely going to be a thing. You'll see robberies, you'll see carjackings and stuff like that. Breaking and enterings, B&Es. You're going to see those things, but the real violence that's going to occur is going to happen towards the other Latin American populations, and especially towards blacks. That's where it's headed. You know, Black America, I'm telling you, you know, and a lot of folks are waking up to this. A lot of people in Black community are waking up to this, and they're pointing out that, you know, this great replacement stuff, they're really getting the worst end of the stick on this, you know, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And so a lot of them are waking up, but, you know, unfortunately, I think that it's a little bit too little and a lot of bit too late. But, you know, hey, it is what it is, unfortunately. But they're the ones who are really bearing the brunt of this right now, and they're going to continue to do so. And we're looking at Colorado, by the way. These videos came out of Colorado. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to have our reactions to that. But I'm telling you right now, Colorado is just a vignette, right? It's just a snapshot of everything that is happening everywhere else. I mean, I can tell you where this is happening in pockets here in North Carolina. Okay. I can tell you where this is happening in Virginia. I can tell you where it's happening in South Carolina. I can tell you where it's happening in Tennessee. You know, we're seeing this. I'm telling you, out in Texas,
LA, Florida, Texas, Arizona.
Yeah. So I'm on my way to DFW. And I'm driving into DFW Airport to pick my buddy up. He flew in. I drove out there. And there was a big wreck going in at 635, going into DFW. There's always a wreck there driving in. I thought I was early enough to miss rush hour, but I was wrong. And you know, all traffic was being diverted off the highway. And so I end up in the going into downtown Dallas proper, right? That area of South Dallas going into DFW and kind of making like the detour route around in downtown. I mean, there's homeless people, right? Homeless people all over the place out there, like a homeless camp. I mean, it looked like Austin last time I went to Austin. But I mean, unlike Austin, because Austin, there's a lot of people in Austin who are voluntarily homeless, you know, because they are. Like they're volunteering to be part of that lifestyle, whether they are drug addicts or, you know, college burnouts, whatever, you know, grad school students trying to get the homeless experience so they can put it in their thesis, you know, whatever. They were calling it life experience back when I was doing all that shit, right? Life experience. You know, but unlike Austin, where you've got all that, you've got a lot of Seattle, California transplants, a lot of white kids, right? You know, who probably came from wealthy backgrounds, and they're just in it. That's what a lot of these shitheads are. They're there. But in Dallas, That's real poverty, man. That's real poverty that's there. And I mean, I just remember driving through there, and it's just kind of introspective of, like, you know, the system really fucked these people. Like, the system really fucked them over, you know? And I mean, yeah, I get it. Like, there's going to be a lot of people that hear that, and they're going to say, man, like, when you think about it, these are people who put complete trust in the institutions of control that are running every urban area in the United States. When you think about that, right? Because that is what it is. And they, you know, yeah, we can say, yeah, they voted for this and whatever, because they did. But that system literally balled them up and threw them away and is doing absolutely nothing for them. They don't care. And I'm not running around out here saying, like, oh man, you know, we got to help all the homeless people, or we got to do new welfare programs. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that these people put their full faith and credit into that system to get their free gibs, right? Their free handouts, and it screwed them over completely. And now it has turned to their replacement, because I literally went two streets over in Dallas from there, right? Trying to make my way back around to get back on to 635. I literally go two streets over and there's Venezuelan flags, and in a, what looked like to me to be a pretty nice apartment building, by the way, probably wasn't really nice when at one point in time, it definitely won't be now. You got Venezuelan flags up. Now, I have absolutely no beef with anybody from Venezuela at all. You know, if you go back to 2018, you'll see that I was literally the only guy in the media, in any media space, definitely on the right, that was pointing out the abuses of the Maduro regime, that was pointing out the influence of Russia, that was pointing out the influence of China, and how this wasn't going to work in our favor. I literally talked about that ad nauseum, wrote many posts about this, shared it as far and wide as I could. And I believe in the cause of freedom for all peoples, right? But in their own country. You got to fix that in your own country. What Venezuela has done, and Nicaragua to a much lesser degree, and I predict Brazil will probably be doing this next. We could talk about Brazil tonight too, but they're going to be doing this next. These are the next moves that I see. They literally did what Cuba did in 1979. Fidel Castro said, I'm going to empty all my prisons, right, all my undesirable people in society. Now, whether they were bad people, whether they were political prisoners, right, it doesn't matter, because what somewhat matters, but in the end state doesn't matter, because once you subject these people to abuses, I mean, look, I want you to go watch the documentary of the Stanford Prison Experiment. Whether these people started out good and were made bad, or they were bad and got worse, it doesn't matter. Their end state was the same. He emptied the prisons, put them all on boats, and dumped them onto Miami. Well, that's literally what Venezuela did, and they are now everywhere, all across the United States. What we are seeing right now, this little snapshot, this apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado, is just the very beginning of this. This is just the very beginning. This is just the tiny little window, the predictor, the indicator of what's coming. And I'm not cheerleading this on at all. This is very unfortunate. This is a very scary thing, but that's why I've been talking about this for years. That this is what they're doing. Our own government, the liberals running it, the bureaucratic class that is running everything, are so inept that they don't see the outcome of this. All they see, and I'm telling all of you right now, all they see is replacement voters that they can use to replace Americans who have woken up to the chaos that we now have in the streets, and they see the dollar signs from the NGOs that they give the grants to, the resettlement grants to, who in turn turn around and donate to, yes, both of the political parties. That is what they're doing. It is a grift, and they have kept it going for this long because who's going to call them on the carpet? Because at the end of the day, when everything is political, there is no more accountability. There is no objective truth in the United States any longer. And that's where we are. And it's a very scary place to be. Aurora, Colorado is just the beginning, the very, very, very tip of the iceberg of what I expect to see coming and coming very soon. And that is, by the way, this criminal organization, we're going to be talking about them later on tonight while I'm waiting on some of the other guys to get in here. But this organization, I want you to know something else. Now that I've been talking about this for almost 20 minutes now, that all organized crime is a reflection of a government structure somewhere. Their role is self-enrichment. That much is true. But they are allowed to operate on part of a power structure, someone's power structure. That's the way it always works. That's the way it's always worked historically. These guys coming from Venezuela are absolutely no different. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They represent Russian and Chinese interests inside of our own borders. They absolutely do. And they will cause chaos. We're just seeing the beginning of it. And there's no timeline for this, by the way. You know, anybody that's telling you there's going to be a timeline for these things, they're full of shit. Maybe not completely full of shit, but there's a progression of activities. That much is true. But it ain't like they're sitting there with their calendar marking off the days until 0 hour. That ain't exactly happening. Because there's a lot of stuff that needs to occur between now and whenever that point will be. But what I am telling you is that there definitely is a level of coordination. There definitely is activities that are occurring in the underground that are now overt. They are undeniable. And our government simultaneously has now proven through its own statements, the Aurora, Colorado statements, the Denver, Colorado statements, the police departments of those respective townships and city, right? Their statements, they are utterly incompetent and have no idea what they are dealing with. That's why you need to get ready. You need to get more prepared, right? You need to be ready to respond. If you haven't watched Sicario 2, the second one, I really, really encourage you to do so, because that whole beginning scene that happened on the border, yeah, multiply that a few times over. I'm being very conservative when I say that. You kind of get the idea. San Diego, they were trying to kidnap a whole school bus full of kids, hijack the bus. I mean, did you not see that? The folks not see that?
That's wild.
These are real things. Yeah. So now that I've been talking for 21 minutes, we're going to dive into some of these facts here. Banger of an opener. Johnny Paratrooper. What's up, brother?
I'm off tomorrow, buddy. All I got to do is go to Home Depot, and then I'm good to go. Going into the four-day, thinking, praying for our country, you know? Praying for the people in our lives. It's wild, man.
Yeah.
You know, the Venezuelan flag, you know, in the Virginia, D.C. area, they seem nice, but they kind of have a bully culture.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I've gone to like the pool parties, at like the big condos, and like Venezuelan girls, you know, they sunbathe topless. I mean, it's like,
they're gorgeous.
I don't know.
They're absolutely
Some of them gorgeous. Are quite. And you know, they're fun to hang out with. They're expensive dates, for sure.
Yes,
you know, it's they're like they you know, the ladies are a little wild, but you know, the guys are kind of macho. Is like a accurate description. You know, they kind of live large, you know, like a Russian that might flee to like Dubai or something.
Right.
You think that think that French dude that got arrested that runs Telegram had anything to do with the, Azerbaijan and New Caledonia? Do you think that's why they arrested him?
No, I can tell you why they arrested him. I mean, if want to shift gears, we'll dive into that one. We certainly can. We're waiting on Dolio was in here, and then he took off. We can certainly dive into that one. Yeah, I broke this down last night on Colonel Murray's show. I think I stomped on a few egos over there. I know I damn sure did one in particular. But hey, man, you know, facts matter. If you're going to be out there spouting bullshit, expect to get called out. And I bring receipts, by the way. Everything that I say, I bring receipts for it. So that's that. You know, then he went on into the comments section and was saying whatever. Cool. You know, I'm here to build communities up. But anyway, enough about that. That's why y'all are here. You know, we got a ton of listeners in here right now. You know, and that's why this podcast got 1.1 million downloads. But broke all that down last night. Pavel Durov, who is he's an interesting character. A lot of people, especially the media, jump to conclusions regarding Durov because of his name. You know, they tell us the profiling is bad until it's time to start profiling, until it benefits them. And they also love that plausible deniability of, oh, well, he's a Russian, right? He was born in Russia. Yes. His parents are. But he himself is very much an international man of mystery. He spent a lot of time in Britain. And this is something that is not commonly known, but you would know this if you followed the Edward Snowden revelations many, many moons back and really sifted through it closely, because there was a big question between Telegram and WhatsApp. There was even a lawsuit that was in there because there was a big back and forth. So with Telegram, Telegram is the British counterpart to Signal. Signal and the Signal Foundation got a ton of seed money from the intelligence community. Catherine Mayer, who is the CEO of Signal. You got to ask yourself, by the way, why does Signal, which is a free quote unquote product, why does it have a CEO? How does it have a CEO if it's a free product? And it's a free product. How does it pay for its hosting by Amazon Web Services? Kind of a big deal, right? Devil's in the details, always is. All right. But it got that seed money, and I broke all this down. So with social media, we utilize social media in the Arab Spring to foment dissent where there otherwise wouldn't be any. To create flash mobs, to create, you know, the whole mass psychosis, a lot of the Frankfurt School techniques, these tools, and we utilize that as a means of organization to further the color revolution techniques. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote about this. He drew very heavily on Herbert Marcuse and his work in sociology. This all came out of the Frankfurt School. So kind of giving y'all a reading list here, some deep, deep, deep level academic work here. So fast forward that a little bit, a lot of bit, and we realized some things. Facebook was not fast enough. The conduit of information, it was too long of a format. Also, the people who had grown up with Facebook, the early millennials, so late Gen X, early millennials, you know, my generation, we were in college in the early 2000s when Facebook really had its genesis. We were favoring shorter format things, and younger generations were as well. And so we began to experiment with you know, shorter format tools, and Twitter was one such tool. And that's how Twitter became what it became. When the Syrian revolt kicked off with Aleppo, and, you know, kind of not going to bore you to death with the whole history of that, we were utilizing Twitter as the means of creating these flash mobs. So we created numerous fictitious accounts. We managed them. We made sure that they had certain levels of influence to them. We would artificially prop up the engagement numbers of those in targeted areas based on geolocation. And that way we could literally target specific populaces for popular revolt. And it worked. Obviously, it worked. Now, long term, it didn't work. It, you know, our methods had worked previously in Libya. Our methods have worked, obviously, in Egypt. Tunisia was kind of the outlier of that. That was just a Tuesday in Tunisia. And, of course, it somewhat worked in Ukraine with Euromaidan, originally with Ukraine, because that's what kicked it off. And, of course, Victoria Nuland's famous phone calls out there. But the Russians caught on to it. They caught on to the technique. For every move, there's a counter move. That counter move is literally shutting off, denying internet to specific areas. And then all of a sudden, you know, your phony accounts become null and void because you can't target specific areas anymore, which is exactly what happened. So those same techniques were being used here at home. And, you know, the whole George Floyd stuff, that was a big Democrat machine, and the intelligence community was part and parcel of that because they were desperate to get rid of Donald Trump, and still are. And that's what they were using. They were using mass popular revolt, mass popular revolt. And that is what they were creating. And I want you to look that term up. So with that being said, social media in and of itself is one component of this, but only one. It is a conduit of information in a mass communications sense. But you also need compartmentalized commo with your assets, who are the people on the ground who are actually organizing these things, who are actually putting the wheels into motion, right? And so when you do that, you have to have a messaging app, and you have to have one that is Wi-Fi based, that has a central, it has to be centralized. It can't be decentralized, because if you have a decentralized messaging app, you can't necessarily control who's using it, and you certainly can't control directly who's monitoring all of the nodes. That's the problem. And that's why I advocate using decentralized messaging apps. That really needs to be your watchword. If you're putting together a package for counter surveillance, for countering electronic surveillance, it needs to be decentralized. Okay, period. End of story. Because that central node, that storm drain, is the one that's going to get you rolled up. So with that said, I had to clear my throat. I got, since I got back from Texas, the humidity has just been incredible here, like oppressively high. It was 98 degrees here with almost 100% humidity. You can literally see the air. So, I'm a little stuffy right now as I'm sipping on a ice cold shiner. But anyway, you need a messaging app that is centralized that you can now utilize to communicate with your assets, and every aspect of it is controlled. It's completely controlled because you don't want any outside threat vectors that could possibly get into it. And this is the reason, by the way, that all of the shills for Signal out there who generally, and according to what I've dug up on some of these people, when they pop out of the woodwork, they're not real people. Or if they are real people, their accounts go to, shocker, certain spots in Virginia or Maryland, Eastern Maryland. Shocker. But anyway, neither here nor there. That ought to tell you something. But you have to have that node of control, right? That direct line of communication. And so the British came up with their own as well because they needed that. We can't all be on one sheet of music, and one pool of money has always got to be competing with another pool of money, and so on and so forth. And so enter Telegram. All right. Now, WhatsApp was another one that has long since fallen by the wayside. There's been a few others over the years as well, but WeChat, I think, was another one that was out there for a little while. But if I remember right, but that's way, way, way back. Spreaker might have been another one, I think, if memory serves. Anyway, I digress. It doesn't matter. They're all irrelevant. They're also RANs. But Telegram.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa on how our educators and mentors share their knowledge.
The whole Lifestyles Unlimited team is just wonderful, and all the people in it, it's basically copying what I do so you could be successful.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com, enter code 2024. Join the Financial Freedom Program for just $297 for 2 years. That's GiveMeTotalFreedom.com, code 2024.
Then became even more important with the second invasion of Ukraine when the Russians came in. When they actually fully invaded, it wasn't the little polite green men that were coming in to Crimea, but their actual invasion. A lot of the NATO narrative, and NATO has been desperate. One of the things that they have not done very well in prosecuting the war in Ukraine, because NATO is absolutely doing that. There's no denying that at this point. And there's no point in denying it. One of the things they have not done very well, and there's been several, but one of the things that they have definitely not done very well is stay on top of the propaganda war. And they cannot remain in a coherent narrative because the technology is actually defeating them. It's beating them to the table. Now what we've learned since all the other conduits have fallen apart and they've kind of went their separate ways. Twitter, you know, now is owned by Musk. That's why there's such a commotion over that, over him purchasing it, because they didn't want those secrets getting out. They did not want someone they literally could not control, because he's multifaceted. He has too many assets to governments, in an international sense, that they can't afford to lose. So I'm not going to say he's untouchable, but he's definitely unmanageable. He's very much that Howard Hughes type character that the government needs. They can't afford to rein this guy in because they need him too much. Boeing is a perfect example of this. Those astronauts on that disaster of a Boeing spacecraft, are going to have to be rescued by a SpaceX mission, because our government's too incompetent to get them. I mean, what does that tell you? That ought to say something right there in and of itself. I digress again, though. There's a big difference between, there's a big degree of separation between Musk and Durov and Peter Thiel. I touched on him last night. There's big difference between each of them. And they have points of compromise, and Musk is I think that he stands a pretty good chance of weathering this storm long term, as much as they hate him. And that's why they hate him. But getting back to Telegram and getting back to Signal, Telegram, etc., as the social media platforms themselves became more obsolete in the eyes of younger people, TikTok rose to prominence, Instagram rose to prominence. But both of those are problematic when you're talking about the utilization of propaganda in a war footing. Because video format, even if it's deep faked, it still takes a lot of time and effort to make in a competent way, and people can just tune it out. They get rapidly desensitized to it, and it's very much a product of throwaway culture. People will forget it 5 minutes from now. They don't care. It's stupid, trendy, whatever. Don't give a shit. They throw it away. Not even 5 minutes from now, like 30 seconds from now, they're going to forget it. So you need something then that is both a secured messenger and kind of combines all these roles together. And this is why Telegram rose to prominence, because the technology actually had a feature built into it that nobody was previously aware could be utilized in this manner. And that was through the channels. It had a proto social media aspect to it, and every militant group on earth jumped in on it. The news channels out there, a lot of your mainstream media and then kind of the pseudo mainstream media, like One America News and, you know, those types, they jumped in on it later on. But originally, pretty much every militant group on earth has a Telegram channel. And so they were able to use that tool as a great propaganda effect to targeted audiences. And so a lot of the videos that you began to see popping up out of Ukraine, certainly the case with the contemporary conflict going on in Gaza and now in Lebanon, you know, when that expands further, a lot of those videos are just in the raw. And while there probably is a way to censor part of that, the only way that you could reliably do it is through a denial of service. That's what the Five Eyes Agreement nations wanted, and they could not get. They are angry because they cannot stay on top of the message. They cannot stay on task. Their incursion into the Kursk region, which was supposed to conclude at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, that was what they were seeking to capture, which culminated in them conducting a rocket attack on it and setting one of the cooling towers on fire. That was where that was supposed to conclude. It failed, and it failed miserably for a lot of reasons. They weren't able to establish their logistics supply train. Incursions like that never work unless you're trying to attempt a double encirclement, which they did not do. It was just a deep penetration armor raid, essentially. And the thing about a raid is, you know, as I teach in the scout course, you get in and you get out. You don't hang around to see the results. You get in, you shoot the place up, and you get out. And getting out usually is the hard part. As all the students in the scout course learn, getting in is not the hard part. Getting out is the hard part. The extraction is the hard part. So, you know, in saying all of that, Telegram, you know, anybody who is utilizing Telegram as some sort of a secure messenger, I'm sorry, you know, but it's not, never was. You know, never, ever have I ever advocated using Telegram as a messenger for any sort of secured purpose, ever, because I know what I know about it. Now, Telegram is very useful. I do have a Telegram channel, Brush Feeder Radio Recon Group, and that is for a conduit of information. It's raw data, you know, is what it is. Open source intelligence. It really is no such thing. It's just open source information. and it is a conduit of raw data, period. Yeah, end of story. But it is great for situational awareness. It's great to know that things are happening. It's great to know, all right, these are things, and now you interpret it how you will. So again, they nabbed up Durov because Durov wasn't playing ball. They nabbed up Durov because he became autonomous. He went on with Tucker Carlson. He began to spill one too many beans. He didn't spill all of them, by the way. He was clever about that. He kept some of the family secrets close to the chest. But he began to believe his own bullshit, to put it mildly. And they had to rein him in. That's how they reined him in. And now what you're going to see, now that he is a captive of the French government, they had the French roll him up because they had the broadest legal parameters to do so. Even compared to Britain, by the way. But he knew better than to let his boots touch grass in London Heathrow. He knew better because he knew what was going to happen. That's why he's avoided that place like the plague. He's not a Russian asset, never has been. Have the Russians probably tried to recruit him as a source? Probably. But they're not particularly effective at those things historically. They haven't. What the Russians have been good at in the tech sector has been growing it in-house. And their own versions of social media inside of Russia, you know, a lot of it's based through Yandex. Yandex is their counterpart to Google. While that's been effective, they've just used Telegram because why not utilize Telegram? They utilize Signal as well. I used to get a lot of spam messages that originated in Russia on Signal. So for everybody running around out there, again, I'm going to beat that dead horse one more time. Anybody running around out there saying, oh, Signal's secure. Signal's so secure. Why was I getting Russian spam messages from porno bots on there? Like nonstop. Until I blocked them. I set security settings to where, you know, you can't solicit me on there. You know, and I look at it as white side security. You know, that's what that white side contacts, people that I, you know, I'm already communicating with. I can, you know, if I have a Wi-Fi connection or my conventional cell connection, I can utilize that for video messaging, making VoIP calls, voice over internet protocol calls, which is the voice conferencing, voice calling on there. That's what I use it for. That's the way that you should use it as well, if you're going to use it. But if you're looking for any sort of reasonable security, you need to look elsewhere and look hard. There's a lot of them out there. Again, you know, I've put out tons of content about that. Get into GroundRod, by the way. My buddy Kay, you know, should need no introduction to a lot of you out there in listenership. His GroundRod courses are the most important courses you can take as a civilian. Period. End of story. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts. Those are the most important courses you can take as a civilian. So, you know, we all teach a smorgasbord of topics, but if you could only take one course, right? Only one. And that's all, literally all you got the budget for. That's all the time you know, pay time off, like whatever. That's the only thing that you can fit in your schedule. Find where he is teaching a ground rod course and get in on it. I'm telling you that. I get absolutely nothing by telling you this, by the way, but I, you know, he is my friend in full disclosure, but, you know, I don't get anything out of that. That's just me telling you that what he's teaching, the subject matter, is that important. Okay. Is that important. And I think that it's going to become that much more important going forward. Because here's the deal. You know, we're seeing people who are advocating for free speech, right? They're doing nothing more than advocating for free speech. Be first slandered by the media, then be unpersoned, and now they are arresting these people. And they're doing this to some of the most powerful people financially that are out there. I mean, the billionaire class guys. So what do you think that they're going to do to people like you and me? Because we're just average Joes, right? What do you think they're going to do to us? You know, these are people who have the means to fight it, at least in some sense. Most of us don't. We don't have the finances. We don't have the ability to fight these things financially. You know, and the federal government knows that. They know that. That's the reason there's a 90% plea rate, because they know that you don't have the ability to fight this stuff. You know, so it's a big scare tactic. But here's the thing. What I want you to take solace in is that they're showing their incompetence. They're literally showing their incompetence with every move. And I'm revisiting, circling back to this Aurora, Colorado incident, because these people are literally showing how stupid they are and how incompetent they are. And this is absolutely ridiculous. So let's just read the response from Mayor Mike Johnston, who is apparently the mayor of Denver. This is where we ought to say mayor of what? Right. This is his statement. All right. This is his statement. You know, coming out of this, and people put two signs up, right? Literally two. And there's a bunch of people commenting on this. Two signs that lefties put up, by the way, to try and change the narrative, to try and shift this way. And Mayor Mike Johnston, who literally can't stay on message, this guy was hired. Now, Denver certainly is getting what it deserves. Okay, they're getting what they deserve, because this is what they voted for. Now, I hate to say that, but it's a fact. This is what they voted for. So it says, I'm aware of the shameful signs found around our city. This type of abhorrent and racist behavior is absolutely not welcome here. Denver is a welcoming and inclusive city, of course, that gives opportunity to people from all walks of life. And we will fight to ensure that remains the case. Because how dare anyone point out your failures? How dare anyone sit and say that Democrats, you specifically, the people in power, are responsible for the current conditions that you enjoy? They're so busy trying to disarm you, Coloradans. They're so busy trying to disarm you that they turn a complete blind eye when you have Venezuelan gangs who are inside this country illegally, carrying AR-15s and AKs and Glocks that are probably fitted with switches from Temu that was cleverly just dropped off, right? Showing up in certain select places. I won't put my tinfoil hat on that, but you can infer much. They're so busy trying to disarm everybody else that they're going to turn a complete blind eye to this. They're going to look the complete other way. Oh, man. Do you think that those Venezuelan guys, they were standing out there with those AR-15s, those AKs, you think that they had 10-round magazines or whatever the restriction is in Colorado? You think they even give a shit? Man, if you do, you're dumber than you think. I'm telling you, you have no idea. They're already in the country illegally. They don't care. All right? They don't care. They're here. They do not care. And they are not here to take part. They're here to take over, as they are doing. And you know what else? You know what else? They weren't knocking on those doors just to say, hey, you got to get out. They were knocking on those doors to say, hey, you're going to pay the poll toll. Hey, what's up, cute girl in there? Guess what's about to happen to you? Because that's what happens in the third world. That's what happens. Women are a commodity just like everything else. Sorry, Miss Liberal Arts Degree Feminist. That's fucking life, girl. You don't understand this. And I know I'm not advocating for it, but I've seen the aftermath of these things, and I know how horrible it is. Some of you people out there, I'd say a good half of America, has absolutely no idea what's about to hit it. The other half of it might have an inkling, but they're wholly unprepared. I'm telling you, you think that this isn't going to happen. You think that this is happening right before your eyes. Folks, I got news for you. I got news for you. There ain't going to be some magic, you know, parachute drop. You ain't going to have, you know, like Red Dawn magically happening. The fact that this is happening in Colorado, I think, is very ironic, by the way. But you're not just going to have a battalion just materialize out of Antonovs in the sky and all of a sudden it's go time. Nah, man. That's not how you invade a country. Well, maybe if you're American. They're coming in from the southern border. They're organized. They have a level of organization. This is a gang, all right? This is a gang. These are guys who are, they have some level of training and organization by their own pipeline, all right? And they had to work to get to where they are. They at least had to work with the organized crime aspect in each of the countries they had to go through to allow them safe passage, including Mexico, meaning they're working with the cartels. We know CNJG and Sinaloa are both working with the Chinese, right? Indisputable. These are facts. These are facts. And so now we have them here in the United States, period. And they're indoctrinated to violence. I mean, you can't ask for a better soldier. You can't ask for a better shock troop than that. They ain't got to wear a uniform. They don't even have to be particularly good at anything. They just have to be good enough because they're expendable people already. You think this is isolated to Aurora, Colorado? Nah. You got another thing coming. Let's read what Governor Jared Polis had to say about this. He is the governor of Colorado. There is no room for hate in our state. These horrible and racist images funded by unknown groups. What horrible and racist images? It's videos of them being them. I really don't understand how you could misconstrue that. And I don't know who funded who. What is this funding? Funded by unknown groups. This is not funny. It's just sharing the videos. But see, this is the whole, what I was saying about them wanting to shut down Telegram, why they want to shut down any conduit of information, because it runs counter to their narrative. They cannot control the narrative here. But I go on. These are meant to stoke fear and hate in our communities. Well, I think when somebody knocks on my door armed and says, "Hey, yo, it's time to go." Yeah, that's kind of a problem, right? Kind of a problem. I thank Denver police for working quickly to end the defacement of public property and to thank our Department of Public Safety for reaching out for Denver police to assist. Coloradans reject this hate-fueled rhetoric and won't tolerate it. Our fight to build a Colorado for all, in capital letters, continues. Now, you're building a Colorado for people who hate you, in fact, and are going to remove you as soon as that is politically convenient to do so, as soon as they have the clout to do so. This is literally the same thing that's happening in Minneapolis, by the way, Minnesota. Spearheaded in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but happening all over Minnesota. You got Somalis taking over. They changed the state flag. All right, Tim Walz, currently running for vice president on the ticket with Kamala Harris. But there you go. Yeah, it's very ironic to me. Very, very ironic to me that these people created these conditions, and they've done this over and over. They've done this repeatedly, but they cannot take any responsibility for it whatsoever. None. None. So a little bit about this gang. So to speak, I reposted this on Twitter, coming from an account called the New Republican Colorado, and kind of a low follower account for this guy, but he really needs a lot more attention, and I'm happy to share it. This is really good work here. But TDA is the gang, and they did some really yeoman's work here in this report of the Denver Republican Party. And this is in the Denver Republican Party newsletter. This was put out August 16th. So, I mean, they were a little bit ahead of the curve on this. They certainly were seeing it coming. And the gang itself's name is Tren de Aragua. And it has now definitely expanded. There's links embedded in here, by the way, in this report. Again, I've shared it. It's going to be up on American Partisan either later tonight or early in the morning. But they describe in detail here where they're operating their operations in Denver, where they are operating across the United States, their criminality that they have, their propensity for violence, and the threat level. And also what the local government of Denver, Aurora, Boulder, et cetera, all the bedroom communities to Denver, their responses in kind, which are highly disappointing, but unfortunately not unexpected. And, you know, most notable in here, how they're funding their operations, not just through fencing stolen property, but also the illicit drug trade. So it's all in here. All in here, really incredibly well done piece, and I'm going to be putting that up on American Partisan as well, so that everybody's going to be able to see that. I urge everybody listening to this to reach out to Denver Republican Party, give them some support, because they could absolutely use it. They've got an uphill battle. So anyway, man, I've been talking for an hour straight. Holy crap. So much to break down, man. I literally was stuck in a truck for 3.5 days, and you know, on top of teaching classes and doing all that stuff. So it's been bottled up, man. I've had a lot that I've seen, a lot of stuff to digest, a lot of stuff to get out there. But Johnny, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a different kind of America for sure. You know, the rules are going to change. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's like, you know, get yourself straight. Like, you don't want to be sucking wind when the time comes, you know, whether that's spiritually or financially or physically or, you know, in defensively. I mean, our border's wide open. It's kind of pathetic, really. You know, it shows that we can't say, you know, no. And, you know, if I was bringing people across the border, that'd be like, that'd be, you know, almost like human trafficking, you know. But for some reason, when other people do it, it's, you know, human charity, it's philanthropy or whatever, you know. It's ridiculous. It's hard to believe, really. And then you were mentioning like, blacks are hit the hardest. So like, you know, real estate in black neighborhoods is fairly affordable. And, you know, foreigners take a lot of that affordable housing. off the market, or, you know, needlessly increase the cost of living in an area. And blacks have been hit the hardest because the small manufacturing was taken away, like the towel factories, the tissue paper factories, the napkin factories. I mean, you know, the uniform factories, they were all down in like North Carolina, South Carolina. We've talked about this before. They're gone now. You know, we got
right.
We sent them away. And then not only did we send them away, but we brought people in that needlessly increased the unavailable, the job market, the competition for schools. You know, I read somewhere that we bring like 500,000 Chinese students a year into our schools, into our higher education programs. And it's just like, man, we're really just shitting all over 500,000 Americans like that, huh? Like, I just don't get it, you know?
Well, it's all part of that great replacement. You know, I find it really, really ironic that, you know, a lot of your the black identitarians out there, you know, they were all about that stuff even a year ago. You know, a lot of, and you'll still find some of them. They're bought and paid for by the Democrats. So you know, your Van Joneses and stuff. A lot of the other ones, like the you know, your Main Street dudes out there, you know, that they're looking around saying, hey, wait a minute. This is something I was talking about after hours in class, is that it doesn't matter what city you go to, right? It doesn't matter where you go in America. You know, wherever they had a population of black people generationally, they're being displaced. And the thing is that now, because they've been brought up into generational poverty, this actually, happens to every ethnic demographic, but they're hit especially hard by this because it's just a numbers game. Right. Literally, that's what it boils down to. It's a numbers game. And I mean, go back and listen to Ice Cube, you know, O'Shea Jackson. Go back and listen to his interview he did with Tucker Carlson, where he broke this down, how Compton went from the hood, you know, to all of a sudden now it's completely changed. Like, that place completely changed. Harlem in New York City is getting to be that way as well, and has been for a while now. And when you look at who they're moving in there, and who's the one that's moving the people in there, like, that's another question. And so you got companies like BlackRock, these gigantic, too big to fail hedge funds that literally they buy up swaths of real estate that they know that they could downgrade over time, which is exactly what they did. They devalued it. They downgraded it. They buy it all up for pennies on the dollar. And then they're going to turn around and they're going to resettle these people there. You know, that, and that's what they've done. I was muting you. Sounds like you had like a microwave in the background.
Oh, but, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was unmuted. My bad. My apologies.
No, you're good. You're good.
That was actually the detonator I was testing. But yeah. No, I'm kidding. It was a microwave.
Totally a microwave. I could hear the glass. That was definitely a microwave.
No, that was my Timu shitty switch. And it worked long time on 33 round mag.
That guy is so cool. But the thing is that they're doing all this. You have BlackRock and Vanguard and these companies, and yeah, there's absolutely a nefarious nature to it. Okay, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but at the same time, they're doing that because it's also a massive tax write-off. They can say that they're losing money hand over fist. It benefits the NGO class, right? Because they're the ones getting the money from all these federal grants. The Democrats put them in. They just recycle these people, by the way. And then they, in turn, give that money right back over to the Democrat political machine. Republicans are getting this, too, by the way. You know, your neocons out there, right? You know, oh, I know, new, whatever, your rhinos, whatever you want to call them, like your traditional Romney types, uniparty types, the Lindsey Grahamses of the world, they're getting their money out of this too. They're getting their cut out of this too. So don't think that they're not. But the point is that this is rapidly not going anywhere good. You have now literally urban chaos that is being created. Generationally, you have people who are now displaced from their traditional areas where they've been for many generations. It's not going to get any better. Like, the situation's not going to get any better.
It's much worse. Like, the cost of living it's amazing. Like, I was telling this new guy, he's 20 on the job site. He was asking about like inflation and the cost of living, and you know, it came up in conversation among some other things. And I was like, yeah, man, I remember like everybody could have $20 and you'd be like set for the night. Like, now $20 barely scores a pack of smokes and a beer. Like, it's just wild. I mean,
yeah.
Who knew? Like, remember when a Big Mac was like $2.50? Like, now it's like it's like straight up like $14 to go to McDonald's for like a regular Big Mac.
I haven't been to a McDonald's in a minute, man. Like, I'll be honest,
it's not very good.
I can't remember
the quality has dropped off. It is true. Those articles are true.
Yeah, I just haven't. Dude, I don't eat much fast food. I did get Whataburger in Texas because Whataburger is incredible. And I'm sorry for all y'all out there. I did see something disturbing in Texas. It looks like In-N-Out Burger has made its way to Texas. I knew it was coming out there. I thought it was in Austin though, because of all the California transplants. In-N-Out Burger ain't got shit on Whataburger. No comparison. I've been to both. Okay, I'm telling you. Whataburger, big old meaty burger. You know, it's incredible toppings. Ketchup with hot sauce in it. Get out of here. You know, In-N-Out Burger, this little paper thin thing. They got good french fries, sure, but like, nah. What is that? You know, In-N-Out Burger, what is this? It's not... I'm sorry. No, Whataburger. And if you think the In-N-Out Burger is better than Whataburger, you are out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn. You don't even know what a good burger is. Get out of here. Yeah, but just saying. You know, the jalapeno burger. I remember Whataburger used to have the Hatch Green Chili's burger. That thing was incredible. It was incredible. That was one of the best burgers you could get anywhere in any restaurant was the Hatch Green Chili burger. That thing was just marvelous. It was poetry on a bun is what that was. But you know, I'm not completely throwing In-N-Out Burger under the bus. I'm just saying it's not as good. You know, for any West Coasters out there, you're going to get your panties in a bunch. Yeah, In-N-Out Burger is okay. It's passable, but it's not great. It's not what you make of it. You know, I've had it. I've had it in California. I've had it in Arizona. It's not that great. You know, just saying. It's okay. It's okay, but it's not that great. Whataburger runs circles. light speed circles around it. Just saying. Anyway, but no,
Have you tried Habit Burger yet?
No.
Have you seen them?
What's that?
They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
I'm not a fast food guy, man.
I celebrate fast food Friday. But I'm celebrating early tonight. Hence the microwave.
I'm just not like I went to Taco Bueno one day for lunch. That was like Taco Bell if Taco Bell grew up, you know. Cause when you look at Taco Bell, this was something I was telling my buddy, because he was like, oh man, you know, like let's hit up Taco Bell like one day at lunch. And I looked at him, I was like, what is wrong with you, dude? He's like, oh man, you know, like old time's sake, cause we used to get tore up, man. We get really, really drunk. And we go to Taco Bell and like order the entire menu. It's like, you know, back in the day when your metabolism is running like breaking the freaking sound barrier, you know, you could just eat all that stuff because you're going to run it all right back off, man. You know, now you can't eat all this shit. You just can't eat like that. But I was just looking at him. I was like, bro, you are 40 years old. You are 40 years old. And you want to go to Taco Bell. Look at the baseline of Taco Bell. Like, just sit in the parking lot of Taco Bell and watch the people coming in and out of there. Do you want to be those people? I'm dead serious. If you look at those people coming in and out of Taco Bell, do you want to be those people? I hope the answer is no. And I'm talking about like teenagers, blue and green hair, and like, you know, all this, you know, none of them look healthy. Nobody. You don't see a healthy looking person in Taco Bell. You don't. You don't see you when you walk into Taco Bell, you do not see healthy people in there in the parking lot. You don't see healthy people. You don't see nice cars in the parking lot of Taco Bell. You see little rundown Nissan Sentras and, you know, Chevy Cobalts that are like eight different colors. And that's what you see. You don't want to be those people. You don't want to be those people, man. I'm telling you, don't go hanging out there. But Taco Bueno, though, that was good. I thought it was a little overpriced, but it was good, man. Street tacos with carnitas on them. They were good, man. They were good. It was solid. So, you know, and I didn't feel like I was going to get a tapeworm from them either. So, you know, there's that. But, I've been to some sketchy Latin places, man, where it's like, I might get a tapeworm. I mean, I'm willing to risk this because that barbacoa is all over it. But, we hit up a place, though, while we were out there. There's a little hole in the wall. Because I'm always going to do that. I'm always going to go to the place off the beaten path, man. And one of the guys in class, he's like, man, we got to go to this gas station up here because they got a Mexican place in there. I was like, dude, they got beer. He's like, yeah, they got beer. It's like, hell yeah, let's go. You know, so we go up there, and they had some incredible barbacoa. And it was this little old lady running it. And we gave this little old lady probably like more business than she's ever had. Like, I'm pretty sure they were closed. And we go in there and we just like, we drank like all the beer. Like, she just kept bringing us beer. They had Modelo, awesome. Dos Equis, and they had Corona, of course. And they had, it was either Pacifico or Victoria. I don't remember, but they had that too. And she just kept bringing us beer. Like, she'd just bring out bucket after bucket. You know, dude, the food was killer. It was all homemade. Like, all of it was homemade. You could tell none of this stuff came off a truck. It was just a little gas station with a Mexican place.
That's awesome.
It was like, this is so, yeah, dude, it was, oh man, it was so good. Like, it was so good. I mean, you know, going all over South Texas, it was great, great food down there. Great food. El Paso, of course, has got the greatest Tex-Mex food in the entire world. If you know, that's your thing, it's definitely my thing. Incredible. Like that is the mecca for it. It's incredible. But this place was great. It was great. It was all homemade. It was awesome. And really, really enjoyed that evening. But, you know, it was a good time. But I don't even remember where I was going with that. But, you know, In-N-Out Burger sucks, though. So just period.
Community.
I got to say it one more time. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Right. But yeah, In-N-Out Burger sucks. Gotta say it one last time. Gotta get it out there for the guys in the back so they can hear that. I know somebody's already queuing up the angry emails. I live in California and I'm not gonna listen to you no more because you insulted my favorite burger place. Like, bro, come on, it's not that serious. It's not that, it's just life, man. It's not that serious. Anyway, gonna round out. We're gonna be punching out a little bit early tonight. Was expecting the rest of the crew to get in here. Seems like everybody got scattered to the four winds, and hey, that's cool. But want to give a quick shout out to my buddy Don the Pleb, Don Workman, and I want to talk a little bit about his case. What's going on with him. If you follow him on Twitter, and I strongly encourage you to do so, you can look up his account, Don the Pleb or Don Workman. You can look him up. He was arrested by the FBI just last week. No-knock raid for activities related to January 6th. He was there as a independent reporter who was observing the activities. And I mean, yeah, he was there. You know, elephant in the room, just as I stated, you know, repeatedly, it wasn't a good idea to participate in any of that stuff. There was nothing to be gained. It looked like a giant trap to me. I caught a lot of flack for that position on that. But I'm telling you, you know, I was proven right. Everybody going out there was proven wrong again and again. I know their tricks. I know their games they're going to play, and I get it. You know, you're going out there to express your frustrations, and that's fine. That's fine. And I'm glad that people are doing that, but I'm just telling you, that wasn't a productive use of really anybody's skills. But even still, doesn't matter. What's done is done, you know, and history is what it is. But he was arrested. He is facing a couple of charges in relation to that. They're relatively minor, but that's kind of how they operate, right? They're always going to go after, you know, the relatively minor stuff, and they're just trying to get anybody and everybody that they can throw a charge at. So I can tell you all this about Don. I have interacted with him online in an online context for a couple of years now. And didn't know him personally until he came out to a class out in Montana. And I'm just going to say this. You can always gauge the caliber of a man by how he treats his family. I've had a lot of fathers in class who have brought their sons and daughters, and almost always that's been a really good experience. There's been a couple out there that weren't. And, you know, it was true that literally everybody in that class could look at those individuals in question and say, like, man, this ain't really somebody I want to be working with because of how he treats his family. With Don, he is absolutely, it's the opposite. You know, I've had a lot of fathers bring their kids to class and get in on that training and, you know, have have that bonding time and that productivity. I'm going to tell you something. Don's one of the best, one of the very, very best. An incredible man, incredible father, just all around excellent guy to talk to break bread with, to be friends with. He's a hoot to drink with. Great guy, all around great guy. But I'm going to tell you, he is the most devoted father I think I've seen of everybody bringing their kids to class. And that speaks volumes to me. So while the government can throw stones at many voices in our community who are out there, right? And the left is going to cheerlead these things on. They're going to goad people. And I've seen some really, really awful things online that have been hurled his way as I've been following the case and trying to help him any way that I can. Some of those people, I would not be shocked if they work in a government cubicle somewhere, by the way, too, because that is the caliber of people that we're having to deal with. Not a shock. But as unfortunate as that may be, you know, I cannot say this in any more specific terms. He's an incredible human being. So he has a GoFundMe out there. If you can help him out with his legal fees that are going to be very high, I would appreciate it. And I'm going to have a link to that. There's going to be links to it on AmericanPartisan.org as well. If you could help him out in any way possible, I would really, really appreciate it. From the bottom of my heart. And I know that he will too. But even more so because his son, his wife, they're great people and they could really use your help. We take care of our own. And, you know, that's pretty much the long and short of it right there. You know, so please reach out. Please help him out any way that you can. Click that link. I'm going to have that embedded in the show notes. It'll be up on AmericanPartisan.org as well. So final closing thoughts with just a few minutes left of the show. Definitely brushbeater.store. The training calendar is up. And for the remainder of the year, we've got dates going into 2025 that are up there as well. You're going to want to take advantage of these. You know, and what I was saying in the beginning of the show, it is going to get ugly one way or the other. The Chinese are 100% involved in this now, in what is sliding into the overt phase. This TDA criminal organization on part of the Venezuelans. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't think that the Chinese are handling them and stoking them, you got another thing coming, folks. And we can prove it. I mean, you know, I did the podcast series on it, Red Dawn in America. Go back and listen to those. I've been writing about this since 2017 now. So there's a giant body of work going all the way back to that, to 2017. I may have even cranked out some content on brushbeater.org speaking to this prior to that. Study up on it. All right. These things don't happen in a vacuum. They don't just magically come out of nowhere. You don't just get hit out of nowhere. All right. So I'm telling you all that because there's a lot of people out there who are wanting to jump in on a class before the election. Oh, man, I got to get it for the election. Oh, man. What I'm telling you is that the election isn't going to change anything. Okay. It's not going to magically overnight just either slide into complete chaos or magically all your bad dreams are going to become good ones. Like, I don't know what planet you're living on. Maybe you didn't learn from the past four election cycles, really six election cycles, if you count the midterms as well. This isn't going to change, okay? It's not going to change, folks. We're locked in, for good or bad, we are locked in to a pretty vicious cycle that if you do not take an active role in getting yourself better prepared for tomorrow from where you are right now, I don't know what more of a clarion call you need. You know, if you don't get it by now, you know, I'm telling you, it's, but you do get it because that's why you're listening to this program. So, brushbeater.store, training calendar, the training schedule is up running through 2025. You need to be diversifying yourself in as many skill sets as possible. Invest in yourself. Got all the equipment up over there. We've got a lot coming back into stock. All of the thermals, the brand new Armasite Jockey 320. This thing is absolutely killer for the price point. Punches way above its weight class. Got all the key features. I think that this thing really rocks the house. I'm excited. We are the first dealer on the block to be getting these from Armasite, and they are finally here. So got those and a heck of a lot more. We got new products from AGM in stock as well, and I do have the 256s, the Rattler V2, the sub $1,000 price point Rattlers. They will be coming back into stock. There was a small manufacturer's delay, but we do have them coming. There was tons of you out there that have been emailing me daily trying to get these in hand. Hey, it's coming, right? They are coming. So anyway, with that said, folks, as I said on the show last night, be a part of the solution. All right, be a part of the solution. And that comes from being an asset in your community. Folks, keep your head on a swivel. Get out there, train hard, get with your people, make yourself more better, more lethal, more capable tomorrow than you were today. And I'll be talking to you again very, very soon. For all of us here, this is NC Scout. Out.
Good night.
Thinking of selling or trading your vehicle?
Get the big check guarantee at Fred Haas Toyota World, the number one Tundra dealer in Houston.
Get the big check guarantee from the Fred Haas Big Check Buyback Center.
Our goal is to pay you more for your car than any other dealer, and we'll write the check to prove it.
Fred Haas writes big checks every day for all makes and models.
Plus, shop Saturday. Upgrade on Sunday with our lowest prices on the largest Toyota inventory in Houston.
Fred Haas Toyota World.
Open every Sunday.
Tired of living the life of quiet desperation? Want to retire but can't save fast enough? Let Del Walmsley and the team at Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Change your roadmap, change your life. Use real estate to create passive income. Build wealth. Get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297 for 2 years. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.